I'm Steve Potter, and later on Cityscape, we're going to meet filmmaker Thomas Colicco, who is in St. Louis to promote his new documentary, Crafting a Nation, which includes some St. Louis breweries and brewers, including Kevin Limp of Four Hands Brewing Company, who will join us as well. Well, it's a typically hot and humid July in St. Louis, and our topic for this month's Soundbite segment in partnership with Sauce Magazine, Summer Drinks. Executive editor Lagaya Figueres is here, along with Corey King, head brewer at Perennial Artisan Ales and founder of the Side Brewing Project, and Ted Kilgore, co-owner and bartender at the soon-to-open Planner's House and co-founder of the St. Louis chapter of the U.S. Bartenders Guild, and until recently, beverage director at Tastes. Welcome, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
And I'm already thirsty.
We all are.
Lagaya, I must not be the only one, because this month's Sauce Magazine is full of drink suggestions.
We're really thirsty this summer.
Uh-huh.
Yes. We did, one of our features was on Southern trends in food and drink that we're seeing around town. So we'll just start off soft. As far as non-alcoholic drinks that got into that feature, we talked about a lemonade that we love. It's coming out of windowsills in Ellisville. Something standard like an Arnold Palmer that's made with half iced tea and half lemonade. And also the iced tea down at Cello we love because the cubes themselves are made out of iced tea. So you don't really get a dilution that you would.
Well, it's important to talk about those non-alcoholic
drinks,
isn't
it? Now let's move to alcohol, right?
Yeah, now you go from... You go from non-alcoholic drinks all the way to moonshine.
Moonshine, exactly. So at the other end of the spectrum, there is a huge rise in distillers, and particularly those making moonshine. So locally, one of the places that we mentioned would be the Moonshine Blues Bar, which is in the lower level of Hendrick's Barbecue in St. Charles, where they have the largest selection of moonshine in this area. So if folks are interested in trying. And in fact, I did bring some today. You can't, this is why this is so special right now. The makers of local Mastermind Vodka, the one that I brought you is called LPR Moonshine.
Is that over in Pontoon Beach?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And it's actually not available yet in St. Louis. It is available in Illinois if you just cross the river. It'll be here soon.
Now, just by coincidence, I just got back from Kentucky.
And did you have any moonshine?
And I never have. So I don't even really know what it is.
Well, if you'd like a sip, you're welcome to.
Do you want to tell me what it is first or not?
Well, moonshine, I mean, the idea about moonshine is simply it's an unaged.
It smells like vodka.
And it actually, the base on it is Mastermind's vodka. It's 6 times distilled. So the idea currently is while moonshine might have been that whole white lightning thing, you know, uh-huh. It's come out of. It'll kill you, that they're becoming much more elegant in their entire process and that there is an artisanal level to what they're doing.
It tastes like vodka to me, huh? Right?
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think, is along that line.
Hmm. Corey.
Not too bad.
There's a few different ways that people look at it. One way is to distill it until it doesn't taste like anything. The other is to retain flavor like corn or wheat.
Because my impression of moonshine was always something cheap someone made under their sink. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we just tried.
And so the idea in this trend that we wanted to focus on is that that is the perception. And currently they're making it at a level that is, you know, much more refined.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you have another monthly segment, Lagaya, and I think both these gentlemen come into play here, A Seat at the Bar.
Right. So we have Ted and his wife, Jamie Kilgore, are every month talk about something within the cocktail world. Corey is our expert beer guy. And then Glenn Bargette, he's a member of the Missouri Wine and Grape Board, and he's the wine director at Annie Guns, and he always gives our wine pick. So I invited, I wanted to bring Corey and Ted with me today because they had some really fun picks that are going to be nice for summer drinking.
All right, Ted, let's start with you.
Sure.
You came prepared to share a daiquiri with us, right?
Yes, the daiquiri, in my opinion, is one of the most maligned and misunderstood cocktails.
It's finally starting to make a comeback. Why, Ted?
Why? Well, it actually kind of goes back to the early 40s when warning blenders kind of came into play, uh-huh. And everybody was into speed, and no one really knew how to bartend because Prohibition had been around, so they weren't using fresh things. So you had a lot of sour mixes and frozen kind of you know, kiddie drinks.
Yeah, you just picked up a bottle that, you know, I see at the grocery store all the time.
Right. Well, a lot of bars will, and homeowners will, you know, will buy a mix, just a sweet and sour mix that subs in for fresh lemon juice or lime juice.
I don't like those.
Right. What we're going to do is actually compare the two today. So a real true daiquiri should be just lime, sugar, and rum.
Now, people can't see this, but you brought all your implements here. You brought a real lime and everything you need to make what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And what we usually refer to these as just basically a hand-shaken daiquiri.
Okay. Well, do your thing.
Okay. So we're just going to use nice, fresh lime. And I like always measure everything, even though I could probably easily do this and make it palatable without measuring. But
you're squeezing the lime.
Always good to measure, so you know every single time how consistent you are. So it's basically, if you don't have a measure handy, you could always just use pretty much the juice of a medium-sized lime.
I need one of those squeezers.
So we use one whole lime. It's about 3/4 ounce of juice. We're gonna add that. And I've made up some simple syrup, and I use turbinado organic.
That's just sugar water, isn't it?
It is. Turbinado is actually from Hawaii. You can get Demerara, too. But I'm going to use the same amount of simple syrup. This is equal parts sugar and water. Don't even really have to heat it on the stovetop if you don't want to. You can just use hot water. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, a daiquiri is made with a Cuban. It was a cocktail that was created in Cuba and really got its notoriety during Prohibition. But traditionally, it would be a dry rum. I prefer dark rum. And rums, the coolest thing about the daiquiri is you can change up flavor styles based on what kind of rum you're using. And today we're using rum Clément, which is a French rum from Martinique. It's aged and produced very much similar to cognac, and it's actually under French jurisdiction as far as like keeping quality up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to take that little ice here.
I just want to point out this has never happened on Cityscape.
So we're going to go ahead.
You love first.
Shake them up. Let's let that sit for just a split second. We'll go ahead. We're going to make two here. We're going to make one with a sweet and sour mixer and one with. I really hate to do that.
So we're going to compare. We're going to compare the one with the store bought sour mix with the one you're making from scratch.
Yes.
Do you know how much it pains him to put this?
It's really sad.
It's really
sad.
Tag-free.
Maybe someone will drink it. I don't know. we'll see. So we're going to go ahead and...
Well, we'll try to.
Give these a good shake. And when you're shaking your drink, you really want to wake it up. So you're going to give it a shake for about 15 to 20 seconds. Maybe a little bit short, but...
Pretty good workout you get there.
That's the only exercise I... Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out a way to work a routine into it. Yeah.
Now, you're going to tell me. I've been watching you, but I don't know which is which. So maybe you shouldn't
this
tell me.
This one is the first one we've got here is the kind of neon one. You'll be able to tell immediately by the color.
Well, they're similar.
So you can kind of tell. The biggest telltale sign of something that is either old juice or a little different is... on the surface area.
All right, now you want me to try this?
So that's the fresh juice one.
Which should I try first, do you think? Let me try this one. This is
the
one.
You're probably going to get that flavor out of your mouth.
This is the store-bought thing, right?
Yes.
Let me try it.
There's actually no real juice in that guy.
Is there even real sugar in that? I don't think there is there?
Cane.
Oh, there was, okay.
The only real thing in there is the rum.
I don't taste any sweetness, really. Hands okay. So now I want to compare it with this one.
Yes.
All right.
So you're going to get the kind of richness.
Yeah, I taste the fruit in this that is kind of absent in the other thing, right?
Really fresh.
Much better.
Brighter.
Well, I'm gonna do it. Okay, there's no spitting. I have to swallow.
I have to work really soon, so I'm passing this on to Corey. He gets a sip.
Oh.
We're professionals at Sauce.
That's Guy Figueres. We're also talking to Corey King and Ted Kilgore on this Soundbites segment. Well, it's obvious the one that you made from scratch is a heck of a lot better.
So you've got balance. You've got like all the nuances of the rum in there and the flavor.
Oh, man.
Fantastic. Okay, and while you're doing that, maybe Corey, we should ask you. Did you bring a beer to taste? Or?
I did. I brought actually a couple Berliner Weisses for the summertime. Berliner Weiss is actually a Weiss beer that originated in Berlin, Germany. It's a very light wheat beer that is tart. It has a natural acidity from a bacteria that actually grows in the beer and produces lactic acid. So everybody else has got one here. Let me pour you one here, Steve. So I brought my own little mini Weizen glasses. It's important to have your beer in the proper glassware. Tastes better that way.
Oh, I know.
This beer is actually dubbed the Champagne of the North from the French. It's a very spritzy, lively, highly carbonated, light. What you're drinking right now is actually Peach Berliner Weiss from Perennial Artisan Ales. We're brewing this beer again next week. The beer you're having, normally we would never do this. It's actually a year old. The natural acidity in the beer is a great preservative. The peach flavor has come down a little bit, but they hold up very, very well due to the natural acidity. So, you know, you can imagine when these beers were first produced how cold storage really wasn't around. You'd have these naturally acidic beers, and they stayed good and drinkable and for a very long period of time. So that's a whole 4%, and it's full of flavor.
I'm no beer expert. I don't drink a lot of beer. I've been trying to experiment like a little with food these days just to learn, and this isn't what I expected, but I like it.
The tartness is very different. A lot of people, when they have a beer that's tart, they don't expect that by any means. And then, unfortunately, here locally, we have a couple producers that are producing Berliner Weiss now. More people in the United States are producing Berliner Weiss than actually in Berlin itself. And the other one I have here is Four Hands, and this is their Prussia. It's a Berlin-style Weiss beer as well that, after you finish that one, we can try. It's a little less tart.
Oh, I have to finish the whole thing.
You do. You do. It's not very strong.
This is a tough job today.
Yeah. Traditionally, since they were so tart, some people preferred to add fruit juice or syrup to their beers, usually in the form of raspberries or a Woodruff syrup. At Perennial, we use locally grown peaches and ferment them in the beer to offset that tartness a little bit. This one from Four Hands, and I do believe they're working on a fruited version as well. This one from Four Hands is the unfruited base Berliner Weiss. It has a nice underlying weedy.
I was just going to say it has more of that weedy taste to it.
Yeah. And we should mention that Four Hands is also a local brewery, so both of the beers that you tasted today are made here in St. Louis.
Right in St. Louis.
Oh, they're good. And Ted, while we were doing that, what do you got going over here?
Oh, I found this.
Every time I turn around, there's another drink.
This frozen cocktail in a bag.
I know people that drink those.
Had to, like,
it's like a it's like a plastic, well, not a plastic bag.
Smells like a
foil bag. And you buy it frozen. It's a daiquiri you buy frozen?
Yes. Yeah, it smells like Fruit Loops.
So why?
It looks like it came from a slushy machine.
And why did you bring this?
I was curious. You know, it's like this is most of people's idea. When they think daiquiri, they think frozen slushy. That a lot of times you can't even taste the alcohol.
Is it sickeningly sweet to you?
I wouldn't say sickening. It's very strawberry-berry.
Right. What I would suggest is taking 3 to 4 strawberries and you throw them in your shaker, give them a little crush, and then shake up the same drink that we made with lime, and you have a fresh strawberry daiquiri.
I think it's good. Hey, before we're out of time, I want to talk with you guys for just a minute about what's going on with you. Corey.
Yes.
Perennial Artisan Ales is a craft microbrewery. I think you're down around Carondelet.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And earlier this year, I hear my sources at Sauce Magazine tell me that one of your beers got a lot of attention.
We did. We had our Heart of Gold placed a silver medal at the Great American Beer Fest in the Other Strong category. And then up in Chicago at the Festival of Barrel-Aged Beers, we had a silver medal for Barrel-Aged Abraxas, which when we did the release at Perennial became very exciting. We had people waiting at the door well before we opened the door just to buy the beer. So very, very fun. Very
and because exciting. Of this thing you do, this side brewing project, they call you a gypsy brewer. What does that mean?
Side Project Brewing is my own brewery that I have started. I've actually got some beer in bottles, so it's soon to be released. A gypsy brewer is pretty much a brewer that has no brewery. I don't own my own brewery. I lease or rent the brewing equipment from Perennial. They're allowing me to store all my barrels. Everything I do is barrel-aged, wine or whiskey, you know, bourbon, all those spirits barrels. They're allowing me to age all of them in Perennial. So if somebody wants to come visit my brewery, I don't have one. I have a spot in Perennial right now until it grows, until I can actually expand.
That's exciting. Ted Kelgore, you are co-founder of the U.S. Bartenders Guild, the St. Louis chapter. What is that?
United States Bartenders Guild is a offshoot of a National Bartenders Guild, and we started the St. Louis chapter back in 2009. So there's about 70 or 80 members. I was the president for the first 3 years, and we do charity work as well as things like competitions and educational events.
Well, until recently, you were at Taste, but you're getting ready to venture out on your own.
Yes.
The Planner's House, when and where?
Planner's House will be opening this fall, hopefully September, but you know how that goes. But it is on 1000 Mississippi, and so the corner of Shoto and Mississippi.
Uh-huh. Well, great. What's your concept there?
The concept is based around a turn-of-the-century hotel and restaurant that was world-famous at the turn of the century in St. Louis. So it's going to be bar-centric, but we'll have a rustic American cuisine as well.
Good. We look forward to that. Oh, and Corey, one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Beer Week, St. Louis Craft Beer Week coming up?
Yes, St. Louis has a craft beer week that many probably do not know about. There's over 80 events planned from July 27th to August 4th. We kick off July 27th at Perennial Artisan Ales with the Midwest Belgian Beer Fest. There'll be breweries from across the Midwest, not just local, but across the Midwest, and all about Belgian beers, and it runs till August 4th. So lots of events, lots of things going on. A lot of local support, a lot of local breweries doing cool things that week. So
that's Corey King, head brewer at Perennial Artisan Ales. We've also been talking to Ted Kilgore, who's going to be or is the co-owner and bartender of the soon-to-open Planner's House. And LaGuy Figueres of Sauce Magazine, any final words?
Oh, happy drinking. If you're going to drink, you might as well drink well.
Thanks, LaGuy.
That's cheers.
Sensible information that we need on a hot summer day. Thank you all for being here. And
Thank you. If you want to find out
more about what we've been talking about or for other summer drink suggestions, check out the July issue of Sauce Magazine. Thanks again, everyone.
Thanks.
Cheers, right?
Cheers.
Cheers. Coming up, we're going to hear about a new documentary, Crafting a Nation. And we'll also talk to Kevin Lemp from Four Hands Brewing Company in St. Louis. This is St. Louis Public Radio.